Now, if you're already a follower of Jesus, you listen to this story with joy and remembering, and it reinforces your faith and strengthens your hope. If you happen to be here today and you're still just not quite sure, hey, you're in good company. The disciples themselves that had been with him for 3 years still weren't getting it. And Thomas, of all, even after the witness of the guys from Emmaus and the other 10 disciples, I don't believe it. Maybe you're here today, you're one of those people. I only believe what I can calculate, what I can see, what I can touch. If you're that kind of a person, I honor your personality, but I challenge you to let go. You know, there are real things that you can't see or touch. Believe me? How about love? Can you touch love? Can you see love? You can see people in love. It's like the wind, you know, when Jesus used that illustration. You don't see it. You just see its effects. So there are things that don't quite make sense. And let me tell you, the more you read this word and the more you discover its truths, the more that you find the paradoxes of life are the real truth. Things that seem opposite, things that aren't logical, things that don't make sense. Jesus didn't doubt his Father's plan, but he did humanly fear, not the plan. It's the way I feel about death. I'm not afraid of death. I'm kind of excited about it because I know what's on the other side. I'm just not real excited about the process, if you know what I mean. Jesus wasn't afraid of what the Father's plan was, but that night that he wrestled in the Garden of Gethsemane and said, "Father, isn't there another?" He understood the pain, the physical reality that he was going to experience. He understood the desertion emotionally. His disciples, the second that he was going to be arrested, they were going to run. "Peter, I will defend you to the end." He cut off the guard's ear, but, you know, really a really bad aim. But he was going to lose them all in the process. And then when he comes back and on the road to Emmaus, his close followers, he's talking to them and they're not getting it. He sees the disciples and the 11, the most intimate friends he had invested in, were still doubting. Some of you who are believers sadly are living that life. You have enough faith to trust Jesus to save you, but you really don't have enough faith to trust his plan in your daily life. "I don't like this stinking job I have. Why do I have to have this job? My marriage isn't working out so great. I don't get it. It's not what I was hoping for. My kids, oh." All kinds of things in life that don't quite match up. And I'm supposed to have it all. The TV preachers tell me that I should be rich and healthy and all of those. Don't listen to human reasoning and human expectations. Don't even listen to my words unless they match what you heard read from the truth. Jesus said, "My word is truth," and we can depend on that, and we can know that. But you know what's incredible? He did not chastise them for their doubts and their fears. He did not judge them or put them down and say, "You know, you really aren't worthy of me." Some of you feel that way. You feel like you're not worthy of Jesus. That's okay. You're not the creator. You're the created. You aren't as big as him. You aren't all that he is. You aren't perfect like he is perfect. But so it's okay to feel that gap. But just like as a parent, you're the mature one and you love your children even when they turn and say, "I hate you, Daddy. I don't like you, Mommy." And you understand that you still love them and God still loves us. And even Thomas, who stood there and said, "Nope, not going to believe it unless I see it. You say you saw it, I'm not going to believe you." To any of you that might be sitting and wondering, I hope that you're, but I want to be careful because it's not an emotional experience, but I hope your heart is churning to some degree like the disciples going to Emmaus and saying, "It just made sense and we weren't getting it, but then we did get it." The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, "It's important for me to go so that the Holy Spirit can come." And the Holy Spirit will convict men and women of their humanness and their frailty and their weakness and their sin. And I poured out my very life to rescue you. You see, God is perfect. Everybody believes, most people believe in heaven. Some don't want to believe in hell. But if you're going to believe in heaven, the same source that tells us about heaven tells us there is a hell for those that choose to reject and walk away from God's great plan. God takes it a step further and says, sin, your wrongness, does separate you from me. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But you know what would happen if we showed up to heaven just as we are? We'd pollute the place. Sin running rampant all over heaven. What would heaven turn into? New York City. Sorry if you're from New York. I didn't mean to discourage you. Lancaster County. But Jesus knew that the penalty for sin was death and separation from the Father. And he loved every one of us so much that he said, "I will allow myself to be put to death as payment for your sin." Now, I, Larry Humbird, could say, "Hey, I love you. I want to die for you, but you know what? I can only die for one of you. But I actually can't die for any of you because first I'd have to die for my own sin. Because I'm a sinner just like all the rest of you. And so I can't do anything for you. But because Jesus was sinless and He was perfect, the Father said, you can pay their fine. And so as He hung on the cross, the Father turned His back on His Son, and for the first time in eternity, Jesus hung there alone, separated from the Father, cried out, Father, why have you rejected me? See, I think in the garden, that was His biggest fear. Not the physical pain, but the actual separation. He, on the cross, literally experienced hell for us, because that's what hell is. Separation. Those who say hell, I want to go to hell, I want to hang out with my friends, we're going to party. You're talking about a human definition of hell. Biblical definition is emptiness, aloneness, fire burning, but never burning up. Jesus said, I love you too much. Even though your sin has separated you from me, I don't want you to experience that. I want you to be with me forever. So I will die for you. And it is His death that saves us. But here we come to Resurrection Day. Why is Resurrection Day so important? Because there's nothing in life that can give us hope of something beyond this life except what the disciples got to experience. And hundreds of people that Jesus appeared to, ate fish with, told them to stick their fingers in His hand and His side to show that He was bodily resurrected, back to life, going to the Father, going to prepare a place for you, so that when your time comes and you leave this world, your faith and trust in Jesus will take you to Him forever. You could live this life for 100 years. 100 years is a speck in the context of eternity. Where do you want to spend eternity? With Jesus or away from Jesus? I literally offer you that opportunity right here and right now. Take that mustard seed of faith. Take that stirring that's in your heart and do something with it. And I'm going to do something that is kind of old-fashioned maybe and doesn't happen, and it kind of puts you on your... might be a little scary to you, but I want that faith to be real and genuine. And I'm going to pray in just a moment. And after I pray, we're going to sing a song. And I'm going to stay right here while we're singing those songs. The songs are going to be victorious songs. But what I'm going to do is invite you to come and join me in the front to say, I've made a decision. Now, you might make a different decision. You might be a believer that has said, I know I'm saved, but I haven't trusted Jesus in my daily living, and I want to quit trying myself, and I want Him to run my life. I'm going to invite you to come to the front as well. Now, there's no magic formula. How do I accept Jesus? How do I get saved? You simply tell Him. There's no formula. I'm not going to pray a prayer for you. Prayer is simply a conversation with God. So So you just need to tell God, you know, I don't understand it all, but I believe that Jesus is who he says, came to do what he said, what he did, and I want to trust him for my eternity and for my tomorrow. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And if you want that and you've never said that to him, don't, you know, God's amazing. He not only thinks, knows our thoughts, he hears our communication even if it's not verbal. So you can pray out loud or you can just pray in your heart. God, I know I'm a sinner. Jesus, I know you died for me. I owe you my life. I give you my life. Change me. Accept me. Make me yours. I trust you.